When you post hunting photos on Instagram, they get censored. When you post on Go Wild, you get virtual fist bumps from fellow hunters. When you buy gear on Amazon, you gas up a billionaire spaceship. When you buy gear on Go Wild, we donate to a camp that teaches kids to hunt, fish, and shoot. See the difference? Go Wild is a free social community built by hunters for hunters. Join today at downloadgowild.com and I'll give you 10 bucks just for setting up your account. And you'll keep unlocking Go Wild rewards as you share content because guess what? We like hunting pictures. Join at downloadgowild.com or in the App Store.
This is the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast, brought to you by Vortex Optics. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Nine Finger Chronicles. I'm feeling a little fired up today. I don't know why. Actually, I know a little bit why, right? So I got online and I started just typing away and looking at things, looking at how other people perceive late season hunting. And it kind of got me a little fired up. If you go back to 2020, 2019, 2018, 2017 to 1990, every damn article you'll ever read is going to say the same damn thing. And it is blah, blah, blah. Deer are slaves to their stomach. Blah, blah, blah. Find the food source. Blah, blah, blah. And for the most part, they're right. Right? Or here's a great one. This was a couple of years ago. This guy was writing an article about giving advice on late season. And the premise was he had a 10-acre standing bean plot that he planted specifically for deer hunting that he roped off until after he killed his bow buck on his private farm, pulled the stakes out, and then that's what held the deer. He waited a couple days, went out with a muzzle loader, and shot a big buck. Why don't you do the same thing? Why aren't you doing that? Why don't I do that? And it just blows my mind, right? It's like, that's not advice. That is not advice. That's, hey, look what I did with, you know, whatever it is. I'm trying to be relatable here in this episode. And I'll be completely honest. I'll throw this out. You're probably not going to be successful late season if you have had trouble finding deer all through the rut early season, and you're still having trouble getting into a post-gun season type scenario here where the deer have just been piss pounded for however many weeks. And that's the same thing with Iowa, where we are getting ready. Let's see, I'm recording this the day before first season shotgun. 3 weeks are going to go by. I think it's just under like a 21-day period, but we have first season shotgun and then we have second season shotgun, and the deer are going to get pounded because there's driving in Iowa. So unless you have a private farm or a lease where you get to dictate what pressure is on that farm, and you have food plots and you have standing corn, like, congratulations. That's awesome that you have the ability to do that. And I will be completely honest. If I ever get to the point where I can afford to have my own property or have a land, like get permission on a landowner's farm and plant some food plots or talk a farmer into leaving some standing crops up for me and rope them off and save them for late season, man, I'm going to try to do that straight up. That's how you get deer, you know, the food, the slaves to their stomach thing is correct. So that's what we're going to talk about today before I just completely black out and forget to do the rest of this episode. This is an unfiltered episode, so if I get too fired up, you may have to earmuff the kids. I do not give a warning out, by the way. I'm just going to mark this episode explicit. Let's get commercials done real quick here. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, here they are. Nope. I got all these damn papers in front of me. And I'm never organized. I even cleaned my office. I had two mice. My office is in an attic, above my garage. So I turned half of that into my office, put a space heater up. I got an air conditioner up here. Very comfortable. I got all like pictures of all my deer. I got all my favorite shed antlers and then a pile of the shed antlers that are, have been chewed or they're small. I got my two favorite set of shed antlers. I got one behind me. It's the biggest matching set I've ever found. And then another really good matching set in front of me. And that's the one I found. Like my wife found one side and I found another side. I got the buck I just shot laying on a table in front of me, not whole, just the skull cap. And I got this deadhead I found. I'm guessing he's like mid to low 160s, found him dead, beautiful 10 pointer. And I spray painted it gold. It looks awesome as hell. So I pressure washed it. I cleaned out all the gunk off of it, let it dry up. And then I spray painted it gold. Dude, it is awesome. And I'm going to use it in decoration somewhere. And then straight across from me is my South Dakota buck from this year. Absolutely. Just like memories all around. And this is my office, so I love it. So anyway, what was I talking about? We're going to go right into a really quick commercial right here, and that is Hunt Stand. Huntstand.com. If you're looking to pick up one of the best mobile apps that there are for apps for mobile hunting, or not necessarily, goddamn, I can't even talk right now. Hunt Stand, you need to go to huntstand.com, read about this hunting app. It is one of the most functional and robust hunting apps that there is, and you can read all about it at huntstand.com. SN20 for 20% off. Lone Wolf portable tree stands, badass tree stands. You guys, if you listen to this, you know this. Lone Wolf is my other appendage. Four sticks and assault is what I use. If you want a bigger platform, get the Alpha. And if you want to save money, you can enter the discount code 9FC21, and that's going to save you $50 off all orders over $200. Wasp broadheads absolutely destroy whatever they hit. American made. A majority of their heads are American made. I slaughtered my deer this year, both of them, with a three-blade jackhammer. Oh, just destroyed them. Discount code 9, the number 9 followed by the word fingers, 2021. And that's the number 9 followed by the word fingers, 2021, 20% off. Ozonix, huge fan of using ozone to not only cover my scent while I'm in the tree, and actually I keep it on while I'm walking to the tree. I also clean my clothes with it. So it's a dry wash cycle, put it in the dry wash bag, and you can get a free dry wash bag with the purchase of one of the units. Enter the discount code NFC21. And then we have our title sponsor, Vortex, vortexoptics.com. Awesome optics, awesome range finder. And I got a couple products here that I'm not supposed to talk about right now, but so keep posted for that. Exodus trail cameras, every day. I got a couple cell cams out right now. Most of the big deer that I've been seeing are nocturnal, and we're going to talk about that today. Exodus trail cameras, exodusoutdoorgear.com. And if you are looking to pick up a crossbow, not only for yourself or maybe for a fellow hunter that can't necessarily draw a compound bow back, or just is new to the hunting game, and a crossbow might be a little bit more efficient for them, check out Excalibur Crossbows, excaliburcrossbow.com. Check out the new Twin Strike. That son of a gun can carry two arrows, has two triggers, and you can shoot two arrows initially. So. All right, so I went kind of off a little bit, and while I was reading those commercials, I calmed down just a little bit. Let's talk about late season. All right, so let's talk about the season as a whole first. We have early season, little movement. And then we have this big bell curve, right? We have little movement, little more movement, little more movement, the most movement, movement peaks, a little bit less movement, little to no movement, nocturnal, right? We're back at that again. So, and then now what you do is you add a whole season worth of pressure on top of this no movement. And in my opinion, due to weather conditions where it gets extremely cold and these animals have to reserve their energy, right? And if there's a lot of snow on the ground, they have to go look for food, right? Right now in Iowa, it's gorgeous outside. It's like 50 degrees, maybe 55 degrees, and sun shines out. They're probably sitting up there on a north-facing ridge, just chilling, just waiting to get pushed into a trap during gun season and blasted. But as that pressure adds up, they're going to go find little nooks and crannies where the pressure is not, and then they will just go look for food from there. Once the season is over, or once the gun season is over and all the pressure stops, these deer are back on that bed to food pattern. And for the most part, my trail cameras are showing that's what's going on right now. Rut's over for the most part. You might be able to catch a doe coming back into heat in the next week or so. If they miss being bred the first time, they might come back in November. They might come back in now. I've actually seen that before. I've seen one doe, I think it was like December 12th, to be honest with you. I had one night I could hunt. No, it wasn't December 12th. It would have been before the shotgun season. Anyway, I right before the shotgun season, roughly this time of year, I had a hot doe, a doe that was, I'm assuming she was hot. There was 3 or 4 bucks, nothing big, nothing that I was interested in shooting, but nonetheless, there was a little bitty rut going on with this one doe and these 4 bucks, and they were on her and they were chasing, and it was cool. It was cool to see. Went back out there the next night, dead. Right. And I think I'm almost positive I saw that doe again, but what do I know? Not shit. So, food is king, right? So, and pressure dictates movement, and weather dictates movement, and food source dictates movement. My experience is that, you know, if there's less pressure, the deer are going to be bedded closer to a food source, so they don't have to use all this energy. With that said, they're going to find good cover, right? They're going to use the same terrain features, work the same terrain features. They're going to work the same edge, you know, and this edge may change from the last time that you were out in the timber, because it could be thick and nasty in one area. Now the vegetation's gone, and now they're maybe up a little ways into the thickest part. Right? Not necessarily the leafy part, and then into the wide open. It might be just a little bit up further up the terrain, down the terrain, wherever they feel the most comfortable. But for the most part, I think they're still going to be using the terrain features the exact same way that they did October, November, December, and so on. So here's what I would do. This is me, and this is what I've done in the past. I don't have the luxury of food plots. I don't have the luxury of being the only hunter on a property. So after the shotgun season goes out, I'm going to go out probably the first morning of the last day, or the day after shotgun season is out. And I'm going to go put out some trail cameras, and I'm going to check them regularly. Right? Because I have to go to the ATA show this year. And so, my late season window is going to be fairly short. I'm going to walk the fields. I'm going to see what kind of grain waste we're dealing with here. I've noticed that in the past on the farms that I have access to, the grain, like if the snow goes up too high, they skedaddle and they go to a different farm. One that doesn't get, that gets more sunlight, and the snow on the fields isn't near as stacked up, right? So the sun can melt it a little bit more. So I'm going to put out trail cameras. I'm going to try to locate a buck. I'm going to try to find a scenario where I might be able to track that particular buck back to a certain ridge inside the timber. Because as we know, just like early season, the movement isn't going to be starting until dark. Check out those south facing slopes in the sun, thermal cover. This last winter was a heavy snow winter, and I went in there when I went in and started to shed hunt. Basically what I was doing is I was specifically shed hunting beds or or bedding areas, looking for areas where the deer dropped their antlers in and around a bedding area, in a snow, in a specific bed even. So I got a good idea of where these deer are bedding in the coldest, nastiest snow, wind, really cold temperatures, heavy precipitation areas. So that's where I would probably start right about now. And it all goes back to the same type of hunting strategy that I would use going into the early season. Deer aren't moving. They move. Now they're not moving again. So it's a run and gun thing, man. I'm not going to be sitting field edges just because I'd be wasting my time. I probably won't go in as early, knowing that deer movement isn't going to happen until, I don't know, it's not going to happen until late in the day, right at last light, even in the timber, right? They're going to stand up. They're going to go eat. It's going to be dark by the time they get to the food source, and then they're going to come back. Now, in extreme conditions where we're talking like negative temps, they may get up a little early, but still most of their movement might be in the timber. And like I said, again, this is my experience with all this stuff. If I had a manicured property with no pressure at all, then they might be getting out, you know, a half hour to an hour before daylight and just devouring whatever standing food that there is. But now with no precipitation or no snow on the ground, it becomes a little bit more difficult because, there still could be acorns on the ground. There still could be, I forget the name of that plant. It's green honeysuckle, I believe it is. It's like green all year round. The leaves never really brown and fall off until way late into the winter. So like right now I could go out and find some green, right? I know they eat that. I know they eat buds off trees. They eat a lot of stuff this time of year when there's no snow on the ground. Put the snow on the ground, then they start to concentrate. And that's honestly going to be the best bet when they concentrate. And they go from food source to food source, catching them in that concentrated food source is going to be your best bet, because what you're going to be able to do is, you know, snow on the ground equals a roadmap to where these deer move and where they move heavy. And you can just backtrack that in to where they're going, set up on the first night, set up on a ridge where the trail is, I don't know, far away, go maybe 50 yards into the timber, set up. And then if they start coming through, then you're like, okay, well, it's too late, or I need to get in earlier, or whatever, or go in deeper. So you go in a little deeper and you basically just ease your way in. You can be aggressive this time of year, right? And try for the, like, I don't think the bump and dump is going to work this time of year. And the reason I say that is because a bump and dump works great mid-season and during the rut, when they bump up and they're like, oh my God, I got to go chase some does, or I got to go make some sign. They're not doing that this time of year. So they're scared. They leave. And then, like my experience, they just don't come back to that area. And if they do, strictly nocturnal, and then you've lost them forever, right? Or they may rebound, but they're only moving nocturnally. They may shift onto a different property, into a different thicket. And again, there is there's no chance of getting them. So this is where I would stair step my way in and not necessarily go in for the kill right away, unless I had data or I had a sighting of what I would need to do to go in for that kill shot. So, and I hate to say this, but man, late season hunting is kind of boring. It's fun if you get into that routine, the run and gun routine, like you would early season. But man, if you're hunting a food, like if I was hunting a standing cornfield or a bean field, I don't know, man. It's just, why is it so boring for me? Maybe it's because I was heavily moving all around all winter or all fall, and then it gets cold, and then it's just like, it's just different. And I think it's boring. So I don't know. I would do a lot of scouting as well. So I would go in, you know, especially if there's no snow on the ground as a roadmap, I would be doing a lot of scouting, looking for fresh tracks. I would be looking for, I don't know, I wouldn't be in necessarily in there trying to kick up deer, but I would be looking for fresh tracks. I'd be checking my trail cameras way more than I would in October, and just trying to get out there and go. Now, if you are a muzzleloader hunter or a gun hunter in this late season, then you could probably play off a little bit. I mean, you have a lot wider of a range when it comes to your weapon. So your strategy doesn't necessarily have to be near as perfect because you can reach out and touch something. But if you're an archer, you still have to relate back to that early season tactic, and that's getting in close with a limited time frame of when these deer are going to be moving. So, all right. I've already bitched about how all the articles are about the same damn thing. And I think I want to keep this episode short because I think the rest of what I have to say would just be complaining and bitching. But when it comes to pressure, like, the deer don't take shit anymore this time of year. They're gone. Like, they get bumped. And I know they're like, oh, it must be nice to hunt Iowa. Yeah, it is awesome. It's awesome to hunt Iowa. I live in Iowa. I get to hunt Iowa. That's awesome for me. But once the party hunting starts in Iowa, it's a completely different environment, right? It's not what you see on TV anymore. Deer are kicked up from one property to one property and one property, and you don't see the deer. You know, they're scared to shit. They've been pushed all over the place. And the next thing you know, it is, but the cool thing about that is that could kick up a different deer on the property that you have access to. So while I've said all these things, you got to be ready to go at the drop of a dime. If, let's just say, I don't know, something happens, you check your trail camera the night before you get a deer on a shooter on trail camera, you best believe I'm going to be out there the next night trying to figure it out. Now, early season, right? Early season, you heard me talk about not doing any observation hunts, right? If I'm going to go in, I'm going to go in for the kill, right? I think this is a little bit different of a scenario. If I'm going to do an observation hunt, I'm probably going to do it late season. Sometimes they're warranted. Sometimes if there's enough info or you know your property, go in for the kill. But if you're hunting public or a brand new property late season, you might be able to get away with one evening hunt, maybe even one evening observation hunt, or honestly, maybe even a morning observation point, which sparks another idea. If I didn't have to work and if I didn't have kids, I would get a tag. I would get my late season tag. I would have my bow and I would hunt morning and night and morning and night. And I would hunt morning and night all late season, trying to locate a different deer, just like I would if I was going out of state somewhere. But because my schedules is messed up and I've already burnt all my bridges on my Western hunts and my rut hunt here in Iowa, that's just not feasible anymore. So I probably would put more stock into evening hunts, but if you locate a deer coming out of his bed, why not try, or his bedroom, or coming to a food source, why not try to backdoor where he came from on a morning hunt and catch him coming back? And I'm sure he'll be back right at first light, or maybe even before, but you'll get a good idea of what's coming through once the sun comes up. And maybe you can see something standing up, or maybe you can, I don't know, just get more of an idea, pieces of the puzzle together, put the pieces of the puzzle together. And, I don't know. I think like people make it sound like late season, unless this, it's doom and gloom. No, dude, it's all up to you. All you have to do is go out and get it, right? It's like, well, because I've kind of done the doom and gloom at the beginning of this podcast where I was bitching about it, but you still have to go and make an attempt, right? If you decide, hey, I want to get a late season tag, or if I want to try this, I know that there's been pressure. I know the deer movement is limited, but I also know where deer historically move. I know how deer use terrain. I know where the edge is. I know where the food source is. I know this, I know this. So you, what you know and what you don't know, and you add it together in an equation, and out pops a possibility, and you apply that possibility to your farm that you have access to, or public ground, or whatever. So that's me. I don't know really what I said just now. It was more of a blackout. Like if I was trying to, if I was trying to impress a girl at the bar, I might have said all of those things, but you know, as soon as the shotgun season is over, I'm going to have 2 weeks maybe before I have to head to the ATA show. So I'm just going to trail cameras, and I'm just going to see what's available. And if there's something available, I'll go after it. If there's not, I won't. Pretty simple. So good luck to you, right? Don't be afraid to go in and make a mistake this time of year. Go in, because the alternative is the end of the season, right? The end of the season. And if you're patient, oh shit, one day, now what? So I would be aggressive this time of year, and what I mean by that is hunting as much as you possibly can, but make sure you have conservative actions with that aggressive time in the woods, if that even makes sense. I don't even know if it made sense to me, but that's what I'm talking about. So with all that said, good luck. Make sure you don't take any shortcuts. I know it's been a long season for some of you. Don't give up. Man, don't give up, because something could happen. And the only way that it could happen is if you're in the timber or out in the field trying to get it done. So good luck to all of you. Be safe, especially if you're a gun hunter. Shit can get crazy this time of year. You know, you already hear rumblings of, oh, so-and-so got shot, you know, bullets flying over my head, this and that. Just be safe. Nothing is worth getting shot over. And, you know, this might be, depending on weather, might be an opportunity for you to get your kids out if it's not too terribly cold, or if they're tough kids. My kids are kind of wusses, so I don't think they could handle the cold. Like, I know some tough kids that could handle the cold, but my kids they're not really tough. My youngest son is. He would stick it out, I think, but he's not quite ready yet. He'd be too loud. Other than that, good luck, get after it, and a huge shout out to the partners of the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast: Hunt Stand, Lone Wolf, Wasp, Ozonics, Vortex, Exodus, Excalibur. And huge shout out to each and every one of you for taking time out of your day to download and listen to the Nine Finger Chronicles. Again, go get it. Just go and get it. Get aggressive. Go and get it. Go kill something. Launch some arrows. If you haven't killed one, shoot something that makes you happy. Shoot a doe. I mean, sometimes guys hold out for big giant bucks. Well, if you haven't had a big giant buck, maybe there's not a big giant buck in your area. Go kill something that makes you happy. And that could be anything. Whatever you decide makes you happy is what you should shoot. So good vibes in, good vibes out, and we'll talk to you next time.